I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta. Today on the show, I am joined by the stunning Southern Belle, Angeria Paris Van Michaels. We talk about soul food, beef jerky, and working the world. But first, do you want to see me go off? Because I think you want to see me go off.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom!
Are you a lady like me? Introspective, beautiful.
Are you intellectual like me?
Beguiled by a bargain? You like wild times?
Like me?
Are you serving the community like me? Well, if you are, then you must be Very Delta.
I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta, a luxury public access podcast and YouTube talk show where I look gorgeous, speak extemporaneously, and invite fascinating people to sit on the couch and get Very Delta. Very Delta is for the woman who holds space for a shaping hairspray and a freeze. But first, let's get into some things that are Very Delta. TSA is a federal organization, but I don't think its rules are universal. I have traveled to so many different airports, and every single time there's a different rule or a different line or a different reason. I feel like I haven't traveled as much as a lot of people, but I've traveled a lot more than others. And every time I go to an airport, it feels like this time you have to take your shoes off, this time you don't. This time we need to see your laptop inside of a bin. This time we need to see your shoes out of the bin and on the conveyor belt by itself. This time you can hold your boarding pass, but that time you can't. I don't understand why there's not sort of like a universal rule across the board. I recently traveled, and it was the second time I had ever experienced the dogs that are sort of in a carpeted area. So as I walked through the line, I got to the front, they said, it's going to be two at a time. So it was me and this other lady. I didn't know her, but it didn't really matter. But you had to travel together, just walk at a steady pace while the dogs smelled. Once I got to the end of it, then you handed them your card and your ID and your boarding pass. And they said, you're ready to go. And as we got in line, they said, don't take your shoes off. You do not have to take your shoes off. And it was like the first time I had ever experienced that. You always have to take your shoes off. At least if you're over a certain age, I guess you can leave them on because you're in a wheelchair. It's all confusing. But once I got there, they said, do not take your shoes off because you had already gone through the dogs and the dogs can detect whatever might have been in your shoes the same way, if not better than the scanner, maybe. I don't know how that works specifically. I also don't know why sometimes you get into the line where you're waiting to go through the x-ray and they're like, the next five of you, you don't have to go through the x-ray. Just walk through. I don't know if it's like a lottery. I don't know if you won something. And I really don't understand like why there's the clear channel or clear one world path. I don't know what the hell it is, but you can get pre-approved that you're in the clear. Like you just go to a separate line and you never have to fuss through this part of security. You just bypass it all because you've, I don't know, pledged that you're going to be good forever and you're never going to be against anyone. I don't know how that works, but I know you have to show up in person to do it. And they only approve so many and you have to pay so much money. I kind of want that as a gift. I feel like instead of asking for a computer at Christmas, I should ask for that as a gift. And then I go in, but I'm sure I'd fucking bitch about so many things. They'd be like, you should have been on a no-fly list so long ago. You are nuts. And what happened to like a separate line for first class? That happens at some airports, but by and large, like that's not even a thing anymore. That's like a lot of it. I feel like when I went to San Francisco airport the last time, there was none of that. Maybe there was. And there wasn't in LA. I don't know. It changes from place to place and from time to time whenever you go. And you know, I mean, listen, I don't know what happens to those poor TSA people, but they maybe because they have to deal with every single person, not just people who want to be in that line or who put themselves in that line, but people who have to be in that line. So maybe they deal with just the dregs of humanity. That's why they're so mean to everyone. Like, you know, because when you go through there, they talk to every single person in line like, you know, all the specificities about what's going to happen. You know, if you're going to have to take the laptop out, it's like they think that you have the handbook. The handbook for the Boise airport, the Detroit airport, the LAX airport. Like, you're supposed to just know this, even though you don't work there. How dare you not know? How dare you not know that over here, we want you to put your bins up and push them down. And then, of course, you know, you're in line and once your shit comes through, there's always those people. I think they like to call them gate lice. And there are people who just hang out right around the boarding area, right? Well, those same people show their ass over at TSA because they're the ones that as soon as they get cleared, like they go through and they're like, okay, you're all set. They think that they could just jump on top of the conveyor belt and climb inside of the machine and start pulling their bags out. Wait your turn. Your gray bins are going to come out. The plane is not going to take off without you if you have planned properly. What do they tell you? 2 hours. Get there 2 hours early. They didn't say half an hour just because these are the same people that are like, I know my body. I know my airport. I know how it. No, you don't. You don't. Because these mistakes happen when you don't plan for them. You have to plan for them. And then people go, see, I got here early for no reason. No, you got here for every good reason. You didn't have a problem. It's like having car insurance. I never use my car insurance. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? You had it and you didn't have to use it. That's the whole point of that. That's exactly why you would do that. So when these people get there and they want to wait and then you're waiting for your stuff and they're pushing past, I got to get in there. And then they grab their dirty Columbia sweater and their dirty purse and their laptop and all their shit and they just leave the bins floating there. You have to put your own bin away. I think you're the type of person, if you do that, you don't wash your hands. You don't put your shopping cart back. You probably don't even wipe your ass good. If you're doing that, you think everybody else's job is to do that. That's not the job of the TSA agents. And maybe that's why they're so shitty. Maybe that's why they're so fucking rude. Because all these passengers and all these people catching flights are so shitty in the line. Oh, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to have water. You had like 5 places that you could have stopped in the line that said, throw your water out. Please throw your water out. You cannot have water. You cannot have liquid. You cannot have liquid. Oh, I can't. I just bought it. Well, you should have bought it after the gate. Oh, I didn't know I wasn't allowed to have cocaine and bricks. You didn't? You had no idea. You had no idea that was going to happen. All these signs. But I will say there are people, again, that don't know. Those are universal rules. Like, you should not be transporting illegal drugs. That's a given, regardless of what airport you're at. You should not be smuggling, elephant fucking tusks. You should not be transporting people inside suitcases. You should not. So those are just basic things. But, you know, there are people that come up that maybe don't fly very much. Mom and pop who come through. They don't know what the rules are because they fucking change. There's no list. And they go, okay, oh, I just put my stuff in the bin. And they put their stuff in the bin. You need to take your shit out of there. They get so loud. I want to jump down their throat every time I see it. Not everybody fucking works here. You do. We don't. Stop being so goddamn mean and presumptuous as to fucking yell at old people or people who are in a wheelchair or people who just came through and went, I didn't know. This guy told me to get in this line. I got in this line. You're telling me to get out of the line. You're pulling jackets off of me. What the fuck? I don't work here. You do. I know everyone's being shitty to you, but I'm not. And that's what makes your job hard, is that even though somebody was shitty to you, you can't be shitty back to the next person with the assumption that they're going to be shitty to you. Your job is to provide safety and service. That's it. You don't have to be nice. You don't have to jump up and down. You just have to be cordial and polite. Ma'am, we're taking shoes off today. I just have to let you know we're taking shoes off. Sir, you have to take your jacket off. Please take your belt off. And I get it, having to say it over and over and over. But my God, hold a little bit of grace for people. Not everyone travels all week long. Some people don't even travel but once every 3 years on an airplane. Some people can't even fucking afford to travel. Some people are going on a trip that they've been saving up for, and the first person they meet is the first person who's supposed to be their point of safety, and that person shits all over them. And this isn't everybody, but it's enough people who work there that it becomes a habit. And then that habit becomes just the way of conducting business. It happens every fucking time. And there are some people that are nice. Can I count them on my hand with a leftover finger or two? Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why I just hang my head down. Oh, sure. Yes. Nope. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Sure. Thank you so much. That's all you can do. But when you see people coming through, I feel like if your job is to deal with the public, you have a sixth sense about you where you can look at people and read people. You can tell by looking at someone, by the way that they conduct themselves, the way that they're talking, the look of fear in their eye, that they don't know what's going on. And you take that opportunity to give them a little bit of grace. Give them a little bit of, you know what? I'm going to take my job very seriously here, and I'm going to make sure they know that what we're doing here is to keep them safe. I'm not going to yell at them. That's not when you start raising your voice and screaming at people and talking all loud like that, you've already lost everything that you're saying. Nobody cares. They look down on you like a fucking peasant. You're not peasants. You are people providing safety. What's wrong with the people at the TSA? Why are you mad? You're so mad. Why are there not? I don't understand how you can be a federal agency and there's no fucking rule. There's no rule that says we take 5 people at a time. Anytime we have more than this many in line, we assume that the next bit we're going to gamble on and we're going to let them go through without being scanned and just fingers crossed, everything's cool. You know, sometimes between the hours of 7 a.m. and 11:34 a.m., we are going to not check laptops. And then sometimes we are going to say that you can come through with 3 ounces of liquid, and sometimes you can come through with 3.5 ounces. And sometimes we can say, prove to me that your cane doesn't have cocaine in it, and you can use your cane to walk through, or else you have to use our wooden cane that everybody touched and we don't disinfect. Like, I'm just, why is there rules? And it's like, oh no, it doesn't matter. No, it totally matters. No, it doesn't. No, it's cool. We're cool. We're cool. No, we need to close down the lanes. No, we need to scream at you. We need to scream as loud as possible at you, because the louder we are, the more you understand. Because sometimes I'm like, man, I want to look at these people and say, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? You're my fucking employee. Who are you talking? I don't understand. I'm not trying to read or fucking demean anybody. I'm just trying to say, when you talk at me in a certain way, then I'm going to have to talk at you in a certain way. The problem is they can cry, oh, well, no, that person's too belligerent because they disagreed or said, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. Sorry, I didn't know that you wanted me to now leave my jacket on. So what, do you want me to jump inside the conveyor belt and pull the jacket out like an animal and then put it on? Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Oh, sorry, I'm blocking you. Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Like, what is it? I don't understand. And how many people do you think are really getting athlete's foot from taking their fucking shoes off? Do you think there's a lot of athlete's foot at the airport? I don't know. I'm curious about that. Do you want to see me take a break? I think you want to see me take a break. Eating better is easy to do with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. These never-frozen meals are chef-crafted, and you can really taste the difference. Every week, I have over 35 options to choose from. They have anything you're looking for, whether you're looking for something keto-friendly, calorie-smart, or even flexitarian. Each meal has no prep, no mess, and it's the perfect solution for fast premium options with no cooking required. This week, I ordered jalapeno lime cheddar chicken and spicy cilantro cauliflower rice. And let me tell you, it was the perfect balance between spicy and savory. I can't believe that something so delicious only took me 2 minutes to heat up. Factor's really changed my meal game, and I can't say enough great things about this company. Head to factormeals.com/VeryDelta50 and use code VeryDelta50 to get 50% off. That's code VeryDelta50 at factormeals.com/VeryDelta50 to get 50% off. Today's guest is a Southern Belle from the ATL. She's Hollywood, but she's still country as hell. You know her from RuPaul's Drag Race season 14. It's the charming, the beautiful, Angeria Paris Van Michaels. I mean, three names. Why not? Actually, that's kind of four, but it's three.
Yeah, it's really four.
It's really four.
It's actually four, but it's three.
Because, like, you know, if you're going to do it, you might as well do
it
well.
But see, that's the thing about, like, drag names in the South. I feel like it's always, it's never just, like, Peaches.
Uh-huh.
It's always, like, Peaches, Johnson, St. Clair, Dupree.
See, I love that.
Yeah, see, it's like, and I'm like, why? And then, like, my name, everybody's always like, well, so your middle name is Paris. And I'm like, no, that's the first of the two last names.
Right, right. And it needs to be explained.
It's like when you grow up and you're like, this is my daddy's last name and this is my mama's last name.
I love that.
And they wasn't married very long, so we just gonna put both of them on the back. It's like that.
And you just, yeah, you show your family tree.
Mm-hmm.
You show your family tree. I love mm-hmm. that. You've been living here in LA now for about a year?
It's been a year and 2 months.
Okay, so just over.
Yeah, yeah. Just over a year.
How are you liking it?
I love it now. Mm-hmm. I love it now. It was a major adjustment at first.
Really?
Like, I don't think I've ever experienced a move that big in my life. Well, that was my first time, like, moving out of Georgia, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 30 years old, and I've been living in Georgia for 29 years, and then I decided to up and move to L.A. of all places,
mm-hmm.
you know, of course, because of the fantasy of it all.
Sure.
To continue the career and, mm-hmm. you know, just elevate things and, it's more opportunity out here.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I would look and see all the girls on, like, shows and stuff, you know, guest starring and stuff. And I'm sitting at home in Georgia like, something's not right. They, like, these girls are booked everywhere. And in my mind, I'm like, they live in LA. Like, they're close.
Yeah.
They can, you know, they can be on call. I want to be on call.
Right.
So I was like, I'm getting my butt up and I'm moving to LA because I want to be on call. I want to be there, like in the, you know, I want to be around. So
mm-hmm.
when you need somebody to come through on a Tuesday, you know, I'll be there on Tuesday. You can let me know on Sunday and I'll be there on
right,
Tuesday.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, that also, not just geography, but that's also your just your commitment to what you do professionally.
Oh, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And that's not something that can be taught at any specific place geographically.
Mm-hmm.
Although, because you do come from the South, where some of my absolute favorite drag entertainers mm-hmm. come from, there's just something special. I said it when Phoenix was here, and you too. There's just a gentility that I admire so much. There's an elegance. There's a grace. There's definitely always a wit because you observe people.
I do. It's like a gift and a curse.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a talent.
And a talent.
It is. Like, I don't know what it is. I guess it's, I really like getting to know people.
Mm.
And I feel like I start by getting to know you by completely, like, just sitting back and observing. I'm not judging. Well, I might be a little bit.
A little bit. But it's okay.
We all judge a little bit.
A little bit.
You know, some people are like, I don't judge. No, that's a lie.
Right.
That's a lie. We all judge a little bit. I can't
right.
help it. It's human nature.
Right.
But in my judging, I am just, it's good judging. I'm observing. And mm-hmm. I've always been like that, like, ever since I was, like, little. Just because I always grew up around people and meeting new people and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just used to, you know,
yeah.
just observing everything and everybody around me. Every time I talk to my mom, she always, before we get off the phone, she always, like, gives me this speech. Like, of things.
Okay.
She's like, keep up with your stuff, say no to drugs. And then she ends the speech with watch your surroundings. So I'm always, like, aware of my surroundings. So I'm always observing people and my space and all that kind of stuff.
It's, gosh, I'm telling you, I know it sounds really weird, but every time I talk to someone from the South, the things that you say, because I was just going to say about our surroundings, and that's something that really does matter. You know, you have an extensive history with pageantry, mm-hmm. with drag race, with traveling, with all of these things. And I think as queens, entertainers, people that have personas or perceived personas, mm-hmm. we always have to really have a set of eyes all around us, because sometimes when we're completely done up, you know, you're fully glamorous, your defenses are a little bit down because you're focused on that. If you're leaving a hotel dress waiting for a ride to the gig and you're out of town in the middle of Arkansas or something, you don't know what's going to happen to you. And you mean no harm to anyone, but someone could harm you. And your mom is so right to say that. I know your family's very supportive of what you do. And so hearing that is really one of those things that other people might go, oh, how silly. It's not silly.
Oh, no, but it's not silly because you literally have to. It's almost like with driving. Like whenever I drive, I'm always like, I can't just look out for me anymore. I have to drive. You kind of have to drive for everybody else on the road, too, meaning you have to be aware of what everybody else is doing, too. Right. That's how it is, like with everything. You can't just look out for you. Like, you have to look around you and assess what's going on. Like, you have to.
And I think that gives you, again, part of the grace that you afford other people, because you know what it's like to have that fear, whether it's as a queer person, as Mangeria. I know you've used that term before. You've used that term before. but certainly
that's the trait me.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's another part of your personality that, you know, somebody could take advantage of, and it's scary. So I think because we know that, we afford grace to other people where we say, I'm willing to understand people a little bit more. Right.
Yeah. It's also a thing to just like check yourself at the door too.
True.
And just be self-aware. I feel like when you're self-aware, you know, like when you're self-aware, you can look. Like you said, in other people, and like see certain things, and I feel like that's how I am, because I feel like I check myself at the door all the time. I always see like things from like my perspective too, like as well as like other people's perspectives. So I always feel like I've already, like, because I'm so self-aware, it allows me to, you know, be like that with other people.
Right.
And like really be able to, you know, be open-minded about it.
Mm-hmm. Are you somebody who likes like Southern dishes? Do you cook at all?
Oh my God. Okay, so I don't cook.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't cook, but I do love to eat.
I was gonna say, but you know what tastes good.
I do love to eat. I do. I love to eat. And then also, I'm not picky.
Okay.
I'm not picky. A lot of my friends are picky. I'm not picky. I pretty much will try anything at least once. You know, like that's just me. I come from the South where I grew up eating a lot of different
sure
you know, I've eaten a lot of different things, and you know, I never said no to anything, but like I said, at least trying it. So my first love is seafood, actually. My second love is soul food. So I did grow up eating like soul food, like, you know, like I love stuff like turkey necks and neck bones and chitlins and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
People like to talk a lot of smack about Southern foods,
so,
and
flavorful.
Stuff like that. But it is.
So flavorful.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I'm just like, I am not going to keep myself from enjoying life's delicacies.
I love that. I love that. Like, you know what? You have that a lot in common, the two of you. Raja's that way.
Oh, I love her so much.
She loves to try anything. She's willing to give everything a shot.
I love that.
Yeah.
And but I'm like, why not? Like, one of my drag kids is the type of person that will not try anything. Like, very picky, very particular. I'm like, so then when we go out and stuff, you know, it has to be like, okay, so we're deciding what we're eating tonight. And then it's, well, we can't eat here. We can't eat there. What about, no, can't eat there either. Oh, no,
funny.
You don't eat that. Okay. Oh, you allergic to that? It's like, girl.
What are you going to eat?
like, for real, because I'm not trying to eat pizza and chicken tenders and stuff all the time. You know, like, I like, sometimes I feel like steak and potatoes. Sometimes I feel like a full crab boil, crab legs. Sometimes I might want a taco or a burrito, and next time I might want some Thai food. Like, I'm all over the place.
Right. Man. Have you had any good Southern food here in Southern California?
Oh, man. No.
You know, that's fair. That's honestly
very fair. I actually have it. Mm-hmm. And you know how you can tell that I have it? Because it's not in my, like I said, I have like that list. Like, it's soul food is not something I've had in months because I haven't found like a place.
I mean, you know, if they're not doing it, they're not doing it.
If you know a place, let me know. Okay? If you know a place where I can go get me some good soul food, I know it's probably not going to be authentic like what I'm used to, but at least good enough. You know, maybe the cook is from the South. You know, let me know, please. Slide it into my DMs or something. Thank you.
Be something here in Southern California, in L.A., proper. Yeah, L.A. proper.
L.A. proper, but very Southern approved.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be.
Very Georgia approved.
What would be a good meal altogether with like two sides, a protein, a bread?
Okay, so a good meal for me would be something like oxtails.
Okay, delicious.
Over rice with macaroni and cheese and collard greens.
Okay.
And cornbread.
That sounds so good.
Oh, don't it?
That sounds so perfect.
Oh, my God.
That sounds so yes. Perfect.
And you just take the place and you just dump like a half a bottle of hot sauce on the plate and just call it a day.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. That's me. Like, that's the type of food that I, you know, that's what my mom cooks, my grandma, my aunts. That's the type of food that I grew up eating and I love it to this day.
Is there any, since you can't really find a good Southern dish here.
Wow.
Is there anything that you've sort of fallen in love with here that maybe you didn't always have back home?
Yes. So, Korean barbecue.
Okay.
Oh my God. So I'm going to tell you the first person was to take me to Korean barbecue. Safira was the very first person to take me. And I was like, she was like, you want to go to Korean barbecue? I was like, what is Korean barbecue? And we get there, and I'm like, oh, I got to cook it myself?
I'm an employee now?
I was like, wait, I got to cook it myself? You know, I've been to places where they cook stuff in front of you.
Sure.
But I ain't never been to a place where you got to cook it.
Sure.
Like, he didn't drop the stuff off at the table, and I'm looking at Safira. She's looking at me. I'm looking at her like, girl, what are we supposed to do? So she cooked most of it. I did, you know, flip a little piece of meat here and there. And I was like, you know, good. But after I left, I told her, I was like, I really enjoyed that. Like, I enjoyed that so much. So then I come here to LA and boom, Korean barbecue places are everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like, everywhere. I have one right around the corner from my house. It is truly, like, become one of my favorite things to eat. Like, period.
And it's a nice, like, socially with friends.
It is, and so, you know how we all have those places where you take your friends?
Yeah.
Like, and so, I have a lot of friends who will come to L.A. from the South and visit me. And so, I have a list of places that I will know that I'm taking
them to eat.
And at the top of the list is always Korean barbecue.
I love that.
They're like, where are you taking me to eat? And I'm like, see, we're going to go to this thing called Korean barbecue.
How fun.
And then they get there and they look at me crazy like I looked at Safira because they got to cook it themselves. Right. But then, you know, they get into the full experience of it and it's always
fun.
That's
elegant.
It's always fun.
And that's elegant. I love that. Let's take a break. We are back with Angeria. You love food.
Mm-hmm.
You're now in LA. You're doing it all. But a lot of the reason, part of the reason why you came to LA is because you got that national exposure from going so far on Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Everyone fell in love with you. You might as well come here because you laid the groundwork for the opportunities.
Yeah.
And you that's the whole point. You don't just go on just for fun. But the fun did start in your audition tape. Where you sang Milkshake or lip synced. Tell us about that.
So I knew that I wanted something in my tape that was going to be really good.
Uh-huh.
I was like, it needs something. I didn't get my tape in until about 4 days before the deadline because I kept second guessing it. And I would watch it back and be like, would I put myself on this show? And I was like, it's missing something. So my drag mom gave me a few things and To help with my tape, like a few old costumes and stuff. And one of them was this white cat suit with black spots. And so I'm at home in the country doing at my mom and dad's house in their car garage doing my whole audition tape. And I'm like, and we have a cow field behind our house. And I said, light bulb, I think I'm going to take my butt out here in this field and put this white cat suit on with these black spots and go out here and dance with these cows.
Yeah.
And I wish you could have seen me. I had a karaoke box in one hand and a ring light in the other.
Oh, my God.
So imagine me in full drag.
Right.
Karaoke box in one hand, ring light in the other. And I'm walking out here in the cow field by myself. My dad is waiting for me at the edge of the fence. He say, I ain't going out there with you, but I watch you. From the fence. So, yeah. And so I literally had to walk all the way out. I mean, I had to walk like all the way out in the field just to get to the cows.
Uh-huh.
Like they were up, like, you know, by the house eating their grass and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then it started raining. So then they started like,
oh, come on,
going back. So I'm in the house trying to get my makeup on real fast because I don't want to miss the cows. I'm like, this is my only opportunity.
Right.
Girl, the deadline's finna be here. I need to do this and do it now. So like I said, it all worked out. I went out there. My dad came home from wherever he was and was like, what are you doing? Me in like full drag karaoke box, ring light.
In a spotted cat suit.
In a spotted cat suit. Hey, Dad, I'm about to go out here in this field, and I'm about to go dance for these cows.
And he said, I'll just watch from over
and
here.
And he said, I'll just watch, and I'll make sure that, you know, nothing happens. And I said, okay, good.
Oh, deal. My gosh.
So what you see in the video is you see me and maybe, like, two cows behind me, but what you don't see is, like, the other 20 cows that are all on the side because they've all moved out the way. Like I get out in the field, I set my stuff up and they all just moved. So it literally looks like I'm giving a whole show to like cows because they're intrigued. I mean, honey, they are all like this. Like just looking. And I'm terrified actually.
How are they chewing? Do it in your camera.
And that's exactly how they were, like, watching me in drag. But, yeah, my aunt actually came after the fact, and she saw me in, and I showed her the video, and she went, well, they probably thought you was just a skinny cow. And that's probably why they were, you know.
A very glamorous.
Yeah, yeah, but
skinny
I'm so glad I did it though. Like all of my friends and family are very convinced to this day that that is the part of my audition tape that got me on the show.
You know, I was always two ways, especially in the more recent seasons about like, oh, I don't know why they don't just like put people on. They've seen so many tapes, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. But I think it does matter when you have an extraordinary tape. They want to see, how much do you love this? How much do you want to do this?
Yes.
Especially after all these years of it, we want to see people who are excited about the opportunity. And I think that's why a tape like yours stands out, because you said, I want to do something that no one's going to do.
Yeah.
Who's going to do this? Angeria's going
to
do this.
And now that's the advice I give to girls. You know, these people have to sit and watch thousands and thousands of tapes. We don't want to see you just sitting on your nice couch in your living room in front of a blank wall with a picture of your grandma on it.
Right.
Like we don't want to see that. Like, we need to see you do something. Something to where, even if they don't remember your name, they can say, oh, the one with the cow.
Sure, sure. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. You toured with Work the World.
I did.
And you did Night of the Living Drag.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite places, like when you've been out of town, out of the country, that you just loved, or something crazy that's happened?
Yes. Okay, so one of my favorite places I've ever been out of the country is Wellington, New Zealand.
Okay, tell me about it.
Yes, so it was so unexpected because we were on our top five tour of Australia. So we went to about five places in Australia, and then we went to two places in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And I loved Wellington. Like, it was so good. Like, we were in Auckland first, but when we went to Wellington, it was just different. It just felt different. Like, The people felt different. The something about the people didn't feel American. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, they really did feel so much nicer. And like, oh my God, something about it felt more safe.
Okay.
Like, I loved it so much. I actually got this tattoo there to symbolize that
I
went.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I never do that. Like, I never get, like, destination tattoos or anything. Mm-hmm. And I was, I enjoyed that tour. That's probably my favorite tour experiences mm-hmm. I've ever had. Go to Wellington.
Wellington. That
yes.
sounds so nice.
In New Zealand.
Now, because you've traveled a lot more than a lot of the other dolls, just because, you know, you're in demand. And that's the way it should mm-hmm. be. It's great. When you're excellent, you should be in demand. Because of that, have you encountered any like situations where like a bag goes missing or they don't show up in time and you have to quick drag it? Has that happened?
Yes. I was in Portland and this had never happened to me. The airline lost my luggage. And then coincidentally, the person that's picking me up from the airport says, "Oh, well, you know, your sister, this actually happened to your sister, to a couple of your sisters." And I'm like, at this airport?
Uh-huh.
So what you're saying to me is, this is a y'all thing.
Right. I didn't do anything wrong.
This is a y'all thing. This isn't a, like, a rude girl thing that just happens or the airline thing. This is just right here. And so I had the bag with all of my undergarments and pads and stuff, thank God. Oh, Jesus. And I lost the bag with all of my wardrobe. But out of the two, I'd rather have my undergarments because I can go buy something or borrow something. You know what I'm saying? I could go buy something or borrow something. But, honey, you can't go out and buy a shape.
Right.
You can't. Right. I can't go, you know. I mean, I could go to Walmart and, like, get me some foam. But who trying to do all that stuff?
Right.
Uh-uh. So at least I had that. And that's kind of why I keep them separate now when I go. That taught me.
It's so smart.
I did it instinctively anyway, but now I'm like, oh, you definitely should keep doing that. You know, like that night, I just, I had to borrow costumes from another entertainer that lived in the city. Mm-hmm. But it didn't bother me. Like I said, I did it. I got the gig done and it was a fabulous gig. It still worked out, still got paid. The check mm-hmm. still cleared. So it was fine.
It's so smart what you say because a lot of people don't realize that. Like, if as mm-hmm. long as you have those foundational garments,
yeah.
something else can figure it out.
And your makeup.
And your makeup. Mm-hmm. Those other entertainers in a town, like, I've never been somewhere in a small bar. It could be in Texas. It could be in Kansas. It could mm-hmm. be wherever, where somebody there isn't willing to help you if you need help. And yeah. there's always entertainers that are like, all you have to do is ask. If we can help you, we'll help you. And you don't want to have to put them in that position.
You don't. It feels weird, like uh-huh. having to do it, you know, because they were so willing and ready.
Right.
And everywhere's not going to be like that. But I was so appreciative that they were. Like, there were so many entertainers wanting to be like, hey, I got costumes. I call my good girlfriend. She's yep. around your size. She probably has some stuff. You know, and that made me feel, like, good. But like you said, it still came with a little, like, oh, I hate that I have to do this. But also, it wasn't my fault. So that
right.
kind of cushioned it for me. Like, it's fine. Make it work. It's not my fault.
I mean, and that's why I admire the people that go on the Work the World or any of these big tours mm-hmm. or going. I mean, you're going back to back to back. You're not getting sleep much of the time. But you also are creating this visual element.
Yeah.
And then you have to also be on it for your performances.
Yep.
And you have to be on it with guests because
yep.
not just for them, but because you really do appreciate where you are and you really
yes.
want people to know, I know you had to spend money to come here. Thank you. Like, I yep. love that. So I admire the entertainers that go on those tours because I'm like, that people have no idea how hard you all work when you do that.
It's a lot. The first tour I did was Work the World.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot for your first tour.
Oh,
I think we did about like 35 cities.
Stop it.
And that was just half.
That's exhausting.
I only did the first half. So by the end of it, and then I kid you not, this was only a little over a month. This was like a month and a week.
If you go on these tours, you better be single and young and in good health because I don't know. That's how you did it because you're very balanced.
Yeah,
so.
But it was a lot. Because I just had, being on the tour bus and four or five shows back to back in different cities. And then you get a 1 day break and then you go back at it and do about three or four more cities. But whenever it's over, I always miss it. Like I was so like, oh my God, I'm so ready to go home. I'm so ready to go. How many shows we got? Oh Lord, it's 20 what? Ooh, Jesus Christ. Okay. Four more. All right. Oh God. Okay. And then I get home. And then after a week, I'm like, oh, I kind of miss it.
Sure.
I'm like, I kind of miss it now.
Do you keep any special kind of snack in your bag, like whenever you're traveling or at the airport? Is there a thing you go for?
Yes. I love Slim Jims.
Okay.
I love beef jerky.
Uh-huh.
I love jerky. Like, it's one of the things, like, even when I was filming Drag Race on season 14, I had, and I'm sure all of my castmates remember, I had Slim Jim wrappers falling out of my robe every day.
Oh my gosh.
Like they're like it was Slim Jim wrappers all over the workroom floor. And the girls would be like, oh, Angie's been eating her jerky again.
How funny.
Like it was like, but that's my thing.
Yeah.
I have boxes of jerky in my cabinet in my house right now. It's like, so when I'm on tour, if you slide the curtain back on my bunk bed, you're gonna see all these jerky wrappers just
funny. You have to find Angeria on social media and wherever you live, if you have like a small batch place that makes special jerkies, Angeria wants to try them all out.
Please. And I do. I will. I am a jerky connoisseur. Okay.
You heard
I will.
Here.
So please, you know, send me jerky. You know, Willow and Diabetic actually did that after our season. It was my birthday shortly after we filmed and they sent me a care package with socks and beef jerky.
Oh, that's so cute.
And it was like different sizes too. They were like the little ones, the medium size, the big super ones. And then the card said, because I know you love meat.
Because I know you love meat? Oh my gosh. That is so funny. Let's take a break. We are back with Angeria, wishing that we had pounds of beef jerky here because that sounds so good. We consider beef jerky a meal. It's a meal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it really is a meal because when you're hungry in that moment, that's the thing. Like, it can get you by.
It will.
You know, like I said, chips is one thing, candy, all that, but it's no substance to it.
Right.
Like, beef jerky is like, you know, if you're really, really hungry, one piece of beef jerky will make you feel like you just had a steak.
I agree. I agree. Well, this is the portion of the show that we call Read Me Delta.
Okay.
People will send in their letters with questions, or maybe they are in a conundrum, whatever it is. If you want to send a letter, send it to readmedelta@gmail.com. Hi, Delta and sexy guest. Ooh. On the show, I hear Delta talk about her and her mother's relationship, and I really appreciate it. I love my mom a lot, too, and as a small Hispanic woman, or mini Chimmy, I find myself morphing into my mom slowly but surely. With Mother's Day around the corner, I'd like to know, what are your favorite attributes about your mother? What are your guests' favorite attributes about their mother? Love and light, very Carrie. What are your favorite things about your mom?
That's such an
awesome pretty letter.
Question.
I like that.
I know. That was so awesome. One thing about my mom is she's going to be like really, like she's always going to be extremely sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Like always. Like she always taught me like kill them with kindness. Like that's her thing. Like her energy as a person is just really positive. And not that she doesn't like go through things like everybody else, but she's just a very like, you know, positive like person. And my mom has a really big ass.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Those are the
my
perfect
mom has
things.
A really big ass.
Friendly with a big ass.
It's my favorite thing. Like growing up, I would always like as a child, I would always walk by and punch it. Like I would like she's like washing dishes or something and I'm just like
How funny. Will you still do it?
Yeah. No, I actually do.
And she'll turn around and punch
it.
You.
Yeah. Like now it's like okay.
right. Do you see your mom and yourself a lot in some of the things that you do?
I do.
Yeah.
I actually see both of my parents a lot in all kind of aspects. But one of the things I see the most with my mom is how social I am, like with people. Like, she's very that person. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. You could just be a stranger on the street and walk up to her and she will have a conversation with you. And I feel like I got that from her. I feel like I got a lot of the way I speak and how I, because I am, like, I am an old soul and I am very, like, Southern lady. And I feel like I carry myself exactly how she does.
Right. That's beautiful when you can see your parent in you, or even not just personalities. For some people, it's like, wow, you look like that person, or you have their eyes or there's something.
Yeah.
You know, my mom is probably literally like the funniest person I know. And she doesn't even try to be funny. She does these things that it's the way that she says things, or the nicknames that she gives people, or the funny little things that I know that we will say to one another about someone. And it's never anything hurtful. Like, she doesn't say anything hurtful, but there are little digs about people. And she knows how to read some situation.
Yes.
And know when to hold and when to fold, and know when to go, this is not worth arguing about. And she'll just sit back and go, oh, well, that's nice. Whenever somebody says something that she disagrees with, but she knows it's not worth arguing about, she'll go, well, you know, that must be a different situation. You probably know a lot more about that than I do.
Yeah.
And she'll nod it off. And I remember years ago, I used to think, why would you do that? Like, why would you give that to them? And she wasn't giving them anything.
Right.
That's the whole point, is that she was like, it's not worth it. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, my rent's going to be the same price.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, no one's going to care about what they said. But if I give them that, I'm giving them power. And that's why even when I do this show and I go off and I complain about stuff, I get worked up about shit that doesn't really matter. And yes, I'm laughing at it most times. But for a lot of the times, I do think to myself, I would love someday to reach her maturity level, which is just, that doesn't affect me. Oh, well. Yeah.
I love that. Like, my mom's kind of the same.
Yeah.
Like, she, you know, it really is. It really is like that, like with people. And I think because of her, I'm the same way. I'm very, especially the older I get, I'm really funny about my energy now and like how I respond to certain things. Because like you said, most of the time, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. It's just, and it's fine just to say, I'm going to let you deal with that, as your mom says. You know, that and that's fine. Because sometimes you have to. Like, you have to, because it will work you up if you let it. It'll work you up if you let it. And that's the goal, is to not let it work you up.
And she's also crazy. Like I said, she's crazy funny. There was one time, she has her little specific things. One of them was, for a while, she was using this sweetener. I don't remember what kind it was, if it was saccharin or stevia or what the hell it was. But we were going to Vegas and she said, well, I don't know if they're going to have my sweetener there for my coffee. So she put it in this plastic bag and it was just a little bag of white powder. And I said, Mom, you can't take that with you. She's like, why? We're just driving. I'm like, what if we get pulled over and they see that? She goes, oh, I'll just tell them it's Coke. It's a big deal. And she just walked away. Like,
the way I was not expecting that response.
And my mom
is, I just tell him it's go.
My mother is like 4'10". That's how tall she is. And I'm an only child. Oh, so whenever anyone asks my mom, like, oh, that's your son? My mom says, I know, I only had one, but I made sure it was a nice big one. And it's so funny because she, she's funny too. That way. Oh, your mom's short too?
Yeah.
I love that. But she has a big ass.
Yes, but she has a big ass.
Yeah.
And that's one thing she did not give me. She didn't give me her
But
big
you
ass.
Can make one. You can make one all the time.
Exactly.
You do.
As long as they don't lose it on the, you know at the airport.
You have long legs and they make a big ass out of themselves. All right, let's see. Dear Delta and sexy guests, we all know you're stunning in drag, and you will talk about your outfits and wigs and makeup and more. But my question is, when you're out of drag, what are your favorite types of outfits or brands you like wearing? Are you a subscription box type of person? Do you like going to the mall, online shopping? Thank you for making my life very Delta. Have a wonderful day. Sincerely, Beck, your trans man fan. What do you like to wear? Because I know you use the term mangeria.
Yes.
Which I love. And I only use your permission.
That's trade me.
That's trade
yes,
you.
Yes, trade me is trade Mangeria. You wear. Yeah, so trade me wears, I like to call it very Atlanta.
Okay, what's that?
Very Atlanta. So I am a love a ripped jean.
Okay.
Love shredded jeans. Love graphic tees. Okay. With little teddy bears with chains on them.
Love it.
You know, like very, that's me. Like out of drag, and I've always been like that. So I'm the type of girl to go to the mall and I want to find me a urban store. You know, I don't want to go to the department store. I don't want to go to the department store. That's boring to me. I want to find the store, you know, independently owned, you know, with the graphic tees hanging up on the wall. And you know, those are my types of stores.
I love
so
that.
I like going to, so in Atlanta, I would always go to the mall because in our malls in Atlanta, we always have these kinds of stores. Now, see, that's one thing that I have struggled with a lot living in L.A. And I found one urban store that I really liked, and it's in Santee Alley.
Okay.
And it caught my eye because it had all these graphic pants, like, oh, my God, with patches and shreds and all kind of different designs. Like, I don't like just a plain pair of khakis and an Oxford shirt or something like that. Like, no.
Right.
That's not me.
No.
That's not my speed. Like, I'm very that person, you know. In Atlanta, you would always catch me, like I said, in shredded jeans and that graphic tee with the, you know, with a little teddy bear on it. He has on a chain with like gold teeth in his mouth, and then like I have on a snapback and, you know, and a chain and a nice like Cuban link around my neck, like maybe with some, you know, with nice pair of tennis shoes on, some Jordans or, you know, Air Force Ones. You can't go wrong with a nice Air Force One. You know, that's me.
You know
that,
what you
that's
like.
Me.
That's
I
what
know
I love
exactly
about you.
Who I am in and out of Drake and what I like.
I love that. I have sort of the same Southern California Mexican man uniform. Slightly someone's dad or very someone's dad, which is camouflage shorts, like camouflage, like cargo shorts, or black cargo shorts. I have 5,000 black V-neck t-shirts. I either wear Tom's tennis shoes, like slip-on tennis shoes.
Okay.
Or like any kind of tennis shoe, really. Like, I don't vary very much from that. Like, maybe navy blue if I'm crazy. Navy blue shirt. But I look like someone's late 40s dad.
Okay.
Who maybe peaked in the 90s. Like, that's what and that's fine with me. I do have some graphic shirts. I do have some. I like some.
And I don't think that is wrong with that. I don't think anything is wrong with that. I feel like, you know, we're all different and like how we, you know, what we like to wear, like, and also it depends on where you come from too and what you're exposed to. Cause for me, that's why, like I said, people will literally see me even to this day and then say, you dress like you from Atlanta. Or you dress like you're from the South. And it's true.
Yeah, this is
what people were growing, you know, were wearing around me when I was growing up. And it's not like every now and then I won't wear a nice, you know, plain pair of pants or nice, pretty, like, color, solid,
if it calls you know, for
shirt.
It.
Yeah, if it calls for it. But on a regular day, you're going to see me with that t-shirt, with that teddy bear on it, with the goals in his mouth and chain around his neck.
Well, and what's funny is like the opposite for me too. Like when you said those solid colors, I do think like there is a part of my wardrobe that like if we're going to like a family thing, especially like right around now, all throughout the spring and summer, my family will have barbecues or different kinds of events. I do have part of me that likes to wear pastel shorts, plaid pastel, like roll up, like a little bit where people are like, why are you suddenly from Maine? Like, why are you dressed like that? And I don't know what it is, but
Every time, I don't know why I think it's a Southern thing. Every time I think of pastel clothes, I always think of Easter.
Oh, I'm
like lavender pants. Easter, like a very pastel yellow shirt. I'm like, Easter.
Right, like, right, for sure. I totally think that. I feel like I do love the spring just as it's getting to summer. But once the end of May through beginning of September happens, I hate that time because that's for people who like to hang out outside. And I don't, people who like to go hiking, people who like to go biking, people who are athletic, who like to get up off their ass. You can go ahead and have summer. I'm not getting up. I'm barely getting up any other time. That's why I think, like I always tell people, I love the fall and winter. I don't know if I love them so much. It just gives me an excuse just to lay down and not get up. That's what it is.
I honestly am just a summer person. I'm not going to lie. I appreciate longer days. I appreciate, you know, It being warm at night. Like, I want to be able to, like, sit on my porch at 2 o'clock in the morning and have a cocktail and it's not freezing. I love warm nights. Oh, it's like my favorite. You know, it's a little different here, though, I'll say. Even in the summer, it's like hot and warm in the day, and then still we'll get to the night and I'm like, ooh, it's a little breezy.
I don't know if I don't know if you've had the chance, but if you ever get the opportunity to, like, work in Palm Springs where where you're stuck, like, maybe like you have a brunch and a night or something.
Okay.
If you get the opportunity, the nights in the summer are exquisite.
And see, I'd believe it there.
See, you deserve to have for yourself a little Palm Springs weekend, whether it's at a hotel or a friend's place or Airbnb, something. You deserve that in the summer where the nights are like 85 degrees and you can have your cocktails.
Yeah.
You can sit on the patio, girl, and you just get nice and toasty. And chit-chat.
I would love that. I'm so in need of that kind of trip.
You do need it. You deserve it. You work really hard.
I need that kind of trip. The last trip I did like that was in Joshua Tree. Have you been to Joshua Tree?
I have.
I love Joshua
Tree.
Beautiful. Just get a nice, like, earthy Airbnb somewhere and with your friends. And like you said, have the cocktail somewhere with a jacuzzi or something.
Something about it's mysterious, too.
Oh, I love it. And then just being out in the middle of nothing.
The desert has secrets.
Oh, I love that.
I love that. I love that you love that.
Yeah, I love that.
Not just to talk about food, but not just food. You love places. You love people.
I love experiences.
You love clothes.
I love experiences.
Like, and that's what it is.
Almost everything, especially now. Like, I feel like the older I get, the more I just, everything turns into an experience with me. And I like it that way. I like it. It almost allows me to enjoy what I'm doing better if I'm, like, immersing myself into it being an experience.
Yeah. I used to hate when people would use the phrase, when they say, I love that for you, when it sounds condescending. But when I hear you say this and I watch you in action, when I've worked with you at gigs where I've seen you interacting with people you've never met before, you walk up to people and you're like, hi, I'm Angeria. I'm so happy to be here. I'm excited about our show tonight. When I see this and I hear you traveling, it's that thing where I really do say, I love this for you. I love that you went on Drag Race. I love that you went that far. I love that somebody who wants to cultivate those experiences can walk away from something and say, I'm still me, but I want me to experience all of it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's what I was telling you about, how I go places and I have to go do stuff.
Yeah.
I have to, you know, like when I go on a cruise, if everybody else wants to sit on the boat, that's fine and do it. But if we're going to be on the boat, I'm at least going to go find me a karaoke spot or find me a this or do that, go to the hot tub, cocktails, the whole cruise. You know, I want to do stuff. I want to eat what they eat. I feel like I want that experience for me. I don't know when I'm going to be back here again or when I'm going to be doing this thing. So I want me to have a full experience, do stuff I've never done, you know, like, that's me, like, as a person now. Like you said, everything is a full experience. That's me.
I admire that so much. There's a lot of people that could take a hint from that. They could take a nod from that. They could live their life that way.
Yeah.
And you live it beautifully. It's fierce.
Thank you.
It's really, really fierce. It really, really is. Thank you for being here. This is fun.
Thank you for
having
me.
Goes by fast.
Oh my God, it does. I feel like I could just sit here with you all day.
Well, you know what's funny is, see, when we met one of
at
the
Mary's.
First times at Mary's, I remember we were talking about doing the show and you were like, don't forget about me. Because, you know, we run into a lot of girls that were saying, we're going to do makeup and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And then life happens. But then I remember, you know, I was like, she's going on tour. She's got, she belongs to the world right now.
Yep.
But she told me when the time comes, And I got the moment, I'm going to do it. And here you are. You said I would just be here. So thank you for doing that for me.
Thank you so much for having me. Like, I really do, like, enjoy, like, it so much. Like,
so
it's such a vibe here.
And you came so glam. I mean, you look so...
You know,
you look
I was trying to fit in, and I feel like I do.
No, you were trying to outdo everybody. You always try to outdo everybody. But, I mean, you can't even try because that's just how you do it.
But this
that's
is
how
just,
you were blessed.
This is just what I feel
this is
comfortable
how
wearing. This is the equivalent. See, this for me in drag is the equivalent of Mangeria in the t-shirt with the teddy bear and the chains and the goals in his mouth. You know?
Right.
In drag, that translates to sequins, feathers, big hair, even if we just go into the grocery store. That's me.
Which, by the way, speaking of just this, when she came in here, I was like, now listen, you know a girl knows what she's doing when she has these kind of feathers in this way. These are not chicken feathers. These kind of feathers in this density.
Good ostrich.
They are so expensive. And it's such a hassle.
Oh, my God.
But look how they look.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. Look how they move.
It's worth it. Oh, my God.
It's you so don't just, pretty.
Yeah, honey. You don't want to be caught dead in no chicken feathers, girl. And then they be flying all over everywhere and stuff. I'm not judging you at home. If you like to wear chicken feathers, do you? I'm just saying.
See, she holds the space.
Yeah, for the, there's you, a space
you can
for
have
everybody.
Your chicken feathers right over here. You can have hers right here.
We can sit on the same couch. You just got to sit way over there.
Put the pillow to divide.
Sit on the armrest.
Thank you so much for listening and watching to Very Delta. Our show comes out every Monday. Subscribe to Mom Podcast YouTube channel and turn on your notifications because we do not want you to miss an episode. Search for Very Delta on your favorite podcast apps to listen to the audio only version if you can't take all of this visual element right here. You can also sign up for our premium offerings on Mom Plus Gold by visiting mompodcast.plus, where you get weekly episodes of more Very Delta. Don't forget to send all of your questions to readmedelta@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at DeltaWork. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Instagram and almost every single social media handle at AngeriaVM.
Love it. Perfect. That's And send the beef jerky. She wants it.
Send the beef jerky. Okay, send the beef jerky. You might not have the address. Just slide into my DMs. I'll tell you where you can send it. Send the beef jerky.
She wants it.
Thank you. Right. I do want it.
Especially the teriyaki ones.
Especially the teriyaki.
She loves it.
Especially the teriyaki.
Yep, I love it. We'll see you next week. And until then, keep things very Delta.
Woo!
Yay! Look at
this! Go off Delta!
Very Delta is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom. Hosted by Delta Work. Produced and edited by Doug Robertson. Technical direction by Margo Padilla. With original theme music by Will Pitts. Media and design support by Stone Cold. And set design by Eris Sevilla. Executive produced by Alaska, Willem, Big Dipper, Camille Stennis, and Joe Cilio. Recorded at Forever Dog Productions.
Where's my Diet Coke? Brr,
I just shit myself. I'm mad about my hamburger. Oh, I don't know why you look at me that way. You young kids don't know how to do drag. I wish I had the old days when I was at Peanut sucking dicks. God, I hate all of you.
Mom!
To listen to Very Delta ad-free, one day early, and to get access to more Very Delta and all of Mom Podcast's premium content, check out Mom Plus Gold at mompodcast.plus.